What is up, everyone? This is Press X to Start, aka the award-winning podcast Press X to Start, episode 17, season 4. We are here today to bring you the latest games, news, reviews, opinions, I don't know, fashion tips, all coming from such an amazing place, the place of awesomeness that is our voices.
Now with 10% less hoodies.
Hey.
I mean, within our little group, we are the majority, you know.
This is true. Oh, within that's
our,
weird.
Within our contingent, we are a majority.
So we're the majority minority. Bet. I am DJ, a.k.a. Sexy Bad Choice, a.k.a. Vaguely Jamaican, a.k.a. Mr. Moneybags. And I got a little Animal Crossing fact for you guys. Did you know Animal Crossing was originally developed for the N64?
Yeah, I did.
You did? How the fuck?
Yeah.
I could see it working.
Everyone knew that.
Why didn't you tell me, Jordan? I don't understand.
They teach you that in school.
Oh wow. Right.
In history class.
That you quality Baltimore education.
Exactly, that's why, right?
Y'all are learning to shoot each other. I am Sean MF Ross.
What the MF stand for?
I'm the main focus.
Whoa, main focus. Okay, I like that.
You know.
Yeah. Last but not least.
JXBot, a.k.a. Jordan, a.k.a. JXBot in place.
Oh, shit. Okay, okay. I like that. With that taken care of, I think it's time for us to talk about the games we've been playing.
See.
Let's start with JXBot himself. It's been a long time since we've seen you on the cast. Well, seen is a stretch. Heard you on the cast.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. I think the last time I was on, we were talking about the box, and now we're like at stage one of the new apocalypse. So
yeah,
a lot has changed in
kind of weird
3 months.
It's almost like this is your fault, kind of, huh? No?
Oh, it's almost like I knew better.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, what you been playing? What you been playing?
I've been playing Doom Eternal.
Okay. Okay.
Highly recommended. It is possibly one of the better shooters to come out this console generation.
Wow.
If you play the first Doom game, which was a soft reboot / sequel of the original Doom series that came out on Windows 97 or whatever, you know, when all that came out. It takes everything from that remake and just multiplies it by 2. Everything's more colorful, everything's faster, more enemies, more story. It's very much comparable to the Wolfenstein series.
Really?
To which the first iterations of it were more gritty and grounded.
Yeah.
And even to Gears of War, like the first iterations are more grounded and trying to get more realistic and more morbid. While the next ones are like, fuck it, we know what you want, here's what you want.
Okay.
Enjoy it, have fun, don't worry about it.
So I got a question.
So
what do you feel about the gameplay? I heard that's like a big thing for Doom Eternal in terms of the, it's almost like a Pokemon system where melee restores something, chainsaw restores something, and
that's
like
not really
flamethrower
Pokemon.
Does
something. I would not liken it to Pokemon. I you know what? It's a rhythm game.
Okay.
It's a rhythm game. I keep on saying it. Yeah, like it's a rhythm game to which your button mapping is translated one to one to the screen based on your play style. So you have your certain mechanics being like what melee and your sword and, you know, certain types of special weapons like a flamethrower, ice bomb. All of it plays to whatever situation you're put in.
Oh, interesting.
So it's a rhythm game. It's like Guitar Hero. You're playing the beat of the arena, but you're playing it to your own tune.
Yeah.
Because you're the boss. Like, you're the final boss every time you enter in. Everyone else is just fodder.
That sounds like my work.
You know, the best you know what to employ at the right moment, the better off you are.
Okay.
Kind of like playing an instrument. Like, you might know how to play the guitar, but do you know how to hit it? Like, you know the pacing of it. You know how to hit the right note at the right time. That's what it
I'm
is.
I'm interested. Yeah.
So what else have you been playing?
The other game I've been playing. Oh, I played a DLC for Borderlands.
Okay.
Everything that you wanted and that you've been playing Borderlands so far. Just another DLC. It's Hammerlock's Tentacles, Love, and Something. To which Hammerlock and the guy who owns Jacobs gets married.
Yeah.
And,
don't think
you know, it's
they hint at that during the game, right?
No, they didn't get married during the game. No,
but they hint at their relationship.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. He introduced him as his partner.
Okay. The so, DLC yeah, the I mean, DLC is called Guns, Love, and Tentacles, The Marriage of Wainwright and Hammerlock.
Yeah.
That's a long-ass title, man.
Exactly. So it's a pretty big DLC. You know, like multiple new areas, multiple guns. You know, just everything. It's more Borderlands, all it is.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Which isn't bad. Which is great, because Borderlands is a great game.
All right. So, Sean?
So, I discussed Streets of Rage 4 last week.
Yes, he did, yeah. Did you beat it?
I was playing it on normal, yes. I was playing it on normal, and it was kicking my ass, like, repeatedly. So I said, you know what, fuck it. They have an online drop-in system, kind of, so before you start a stage, you can have, well, they can't drop in the middle of a level.
Okay.
But at the beginning, you can kind of start like an online lobby and somebody can join you.
Okay, okay.
So I had to employ some help.
Oh, wow. And
yeah, the guy that was helping me, though, he was pretty good. I could tell like he had some experience. Either he had spent a lot of time with this game or he was just pretty decent at beat 'em up. So we got to the end of it, but our rhythm was kind of decent because, you know, you come across people playing games and they're like greedy. They'll try to run and take all the shit, all the good
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Since I was playing on the Switch, there is no chatting.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So we kind of just were courteous to each other to share like all the loot in the game.
Do you want this pole? No, you can have it. Oh, come on. I don't need it. You can take it.
I mean, like, we would motion towards shit. Like, I would punch the air over something instead of picking it up so he knew to pick it up. But
Okay. Oh, that's pretty cool.
There was a point where I died and I thought, or did he die? I don't know. Somebody died in one order and I was surprised to see him still there after I completed the level. I thought he would have just left.
Oh, dang. So wait, was he waiting for you to like respond or something? Like,
no, it just like after that level finishes, you know, you can continue on and it'll tell you, you know, waiting for player. So they ended up staying and waiting okay. for me. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Continue on.
It has a story. It's a kind of weak story, but I mean, it's an old school beat 'em up. It's not like trying to go for some grand narrative like God of War or anything or Red Dead Redemption, but it's an enjoyable experience. Right now, I'm just trying to go through and re-unlock like all the extra characters and what have you.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't expect that game to really have a story.
I mean, it was decent enough.
Yeah, okay.
Compelling enough for me to want to see what happens next type shit.
Oh.
I'll tell you who is greedy. Uh-oh. I started playing it with my wife.
Oh, that's always fun.
Every piece of money and loot she sees, she claims that it's hers and I'm not supposed to touch it. And after you complete a level, it'll give you a ranking like first to second, who got the most score and what have you.
Yeah.
Like, depending on how much people you beat up and how much cash you picked up. And she's like, why am I always in second? I'm like, because I'm doing all the work and I'm picking up money.
So yeah, it's a cooperative game, right? It's not a competitive game.
So I had to like lag back and let her beat up some people and get more money so she could, you know.
Look at Sean.
Get her participation trophy. We also played Gauntlet Slayer Edition. I believe I got that free on PlayStation Plus.
Oh, that's actually pretty funny. How far have you gotten with that? Because actually, Shireen and I played that as well.
We actually beat it together.
Wow, really?
Once again, she was greedy as shit in there, too. She wanted all the cash. I was not allowed to touch any money.
Give me the cash!
So, wait, what characters was she and you playing
as? I was using the warrior. She was using the Valkyrie.
Okay.
And she gathered all her money up, and she bought some ability that she never used because she was only used to using just a straight attack button. So she made it halfway through the damn game without using any special abilities.
Wow.
That she spent good hard money on. And she claimed she kept on getting beat, so I was like, alright, we can switch characters. And I started using an ability, and she's like, how do you do that? And like, you just press the button, man. She's like, you never told me that. But you know when you have somebody that doesn't play games that much, you don't want to overwhelm them with too many buttons?
Yeah.
Too many mechanics.
Exactly. Yes.
So I just taught her how to move and taught her how to attack. But we ended up beating that, surprisingly enough.
Say surprisingly.
Yeah, I mean, like, although what? There was one boss where she left me out to dry for her because it was some giant floating cyclops eye that she just took off and hid in a corner and left me to fight by myself.
Wow.
So I told her, don't touch any of the fucking money when I kill the damn thing.
Right.
All this is me. But no, we beat that sometime over the week. And, you know, we watched the credits roll. And she's like, all right, what now? On to the next game.
That's always fun, yeah. Like, when me and Shereen, we did not beat the game. I'm trying to think back why we didn't beat the game. I think we got to one point where we... Because I think we were playing it on normal at first. And we got to a point where it was just too hard. But we decided to just put it down and try again later on instead of dropping the difficulty. And all that meant is that we didn't play the game.
I would play it on easy with her because, honestly... They just throw a shit ton of enemies at you. So yeah, even then on easy with the two of us, maybe because she wasn't that skilled, but it got a little bit challenging.
Yeah, yeah. Like I was playing as the wizard and Shereen was playing as the warrior. But
so we played that.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure all of our listeners are checking out The Last Dance, that Michael Jordan documentary. So while she was playing that today, for some reason, I decided to fire up the Stadia on my phone.
What?
On your phone? And I started playing. Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, you can play it on the laptop, the TV, or your phone if you have a Pixel or other various Android devices. And I started playing something called a Turing Test. It is a puzzle game. It's set on the... where the hell is Europa?
It is a moon. Jupiter's moon.
There you go. One of the moons. It's set on Europa. And basically, we have a station there, and all the people have disappeared, and you land there, and you're directed by a AI to solve a series of puzzles.
Yeah. Okay. I've heard of this game before. I think this is made by the same developers that made, shit. Well, there goes my knowledge. Continue.
But ultimately, like, you're supposed to solve a series of puzzles that a computer would not be able to do because it lacks creativity. And it kind of has a bunch of dialogue about how the Turing test came to be and whether or not you're a computer or a simulation or an AI. And for those of y'all listening that don't know what a Turing test is, it's supposed to be a test by a guy named Alan Turing in which he has a human have a conversation, I guess,
with through a computer.
Typing or something? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a conversation with a human and with a computer, and you're supposed to try to determine which is which.
Right.
And if the computer can fool you, then you've either passed or... I think it passed the Turing test.
Right.
But, yeah, so I've been playing that for the past, like, hour and a half, 2 hours.
Dang, okay.
And then finally, I kickstarted, or I helped kickstart the Wonderful 101 remastered... game for the Switch. Man, I'm having fun with it, kind of, but the graphics are rough.
Really?
Like,
really?
I wouldn't even call it a remastered. I just called it a straight fucking port. And even then, I don't remember it looking this rough on...
that was a Wii U, right?
Yeah, but I got the PS4 version.
So wait, it came out... Okay, I'm confused.
It came out on the Switch to PS4 and I think something else.
Oh, okay. Damn.
I'm going to have to go back and look at it, but this is supremely, I don't want to call it Japanese, but it looks like an anime.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was made by Platinum Games.
Yeah, but I mean, you'd have to watch it. It just has personality. I'll give it that.
It seemed like it was a parody when I watched it way back when.
Right.
It kind of is.
It's based off of the like Power Rangers kind of aesthetic.
Yeah. I have not gotten far enough to give you like a solid impression, but
okay,
I can see it giving me trouble. I do know this would be better with touchscreen controls.
Yeah.
So I probably should have gotten this on the Switch, although I don't even know if it employs touchscreen controls. But
bring back Vanquish.
Vanquish.
Bring it back.
No, well, they're bringing that back, I think. But this highlights the strengths of the Wii U, and it sucks that nobody actually bought it.
Yeah.
Because you had the screen on the TV as well as the tablet in your hand.
Yeah, that was one of
nobody
those.
Nobody knew what the hell was going on.
That was one of the, like, the good games for the Wii U that people just ignored. Yeah.
Well, all the good games that people missed on the Wii U, they're re-releasing on the Switch, so you'll get your day.
Yep.
But that's everything I've been playing.
Okay. Oh. I guess I've only really been playing one game because quarantine dictates, so it's been Animal Crossing, guys. So I believe the last podcast that we had.
No Gundam?
No, well, I mean, Gundam's a thing. Gundam is like breathing at this point. I just, you know, I can't help but to play that game.
I mean, well, Gundam is like a free-to-play mobile game, right?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it does look like a mobile game.
You know what? Mm-hmm. You know what, guys? You know what? This podcast is over. This has been Press X Start Podcast.
Hey, man.
But yeah, okay. Fine. So, Animal Crossing, right? I believe last podcast I had talked about how I've pretty much beat the main quote-unquote game.
Yeah.
And now we're in the end game where it's just like interior designer of the game. There is another side to that. In order for it to be interior designer of the game, you have to purchase items and purchase things to furnish your island. And in order to purchase...
With real money.
No. It's bells, sir. It's bells. So
wait. How do you get bells?
You get bells by selling things and also participating in the turnip stock market. I'm glad you asked, Jordan. So the turnip stock market, how this works. On Sundays, you have a character. She will appear on your island and she will sell you turnips, right? And basically you buy turnips like you would buy stocks, and then throughout the week, you can sell the turnips for whatever price that is available at your store. Or
what leads to valuation of these turnips over the course of a week? They're just turnips.
It's all randomized.
Okay.
So like there's nothing like for me, my turnip prices were 94 like was nice 94 bells.
You know yesterday. What it reminds me of? There Will Be Blood.
Oh,
I'm a turnip man.
But yeah, so, you know, if you just limit your search to whatever your store is giving you, you might end up selling the turnips back for, I think the highest that my store has had was like 253 bells. Mm-hmm. So that pulled me in a pretty good profit. But the other side to this, the flip side to this is Reddit. So Shireen and I have basically taken the next steps in Animal Crossing fandom, and we've jumped and joined onto the Reddit community. And basically throughout the week, I mean, I'm not doing it right now because I'm doing this podcast, unfortunately, so I'm probably missing a good price, but we would look to see what other people are posting on Reddit in terms of what their stores are selling turnips for. So
you have, in our new world, the NYSE, which mm-hmm. is the New York Stock Exchange.
Yes.
And now we have the ACE, the Animal Crossing.
Yes.
Stock Exchange.
Yes. That is correct, sir.
That shit is dumb.
But here's the thing, right? It's a shame that we're not recording ourselves, or we're not doing a video recording, because I am most certainly wearing a tie, because it is very important that when you sell stocks, you wear a tie.
My God.
But yeah, like it's pretty ridiculous.
You know what? Grand Theft Auto couldn't do that.
No.
Animal Crossing is something Grand Theft Auto could not do. Grand Theft Auto wanted to do that and they didn't. They weren't able to do it.
They can't. You know, it just Animal Crossing is an unstoppable force, you know?
That's crazy.
It's a beast with two names. But yeah, so this stock market, right? It is mm-hmm. really crazy, because you will have people who post stuff like their store is selling turnips for 670 bells or something like that, and it's just like
bullshit.
Oh my God, I need to go there. And there's just a whole other side to this that, again, didn't know this was a thing, because I'm just not accustomed to this community. So that's that. There is another side. Yes, this coin has three sides. There is another side to this where it is the turnip exchange. So this is a separate entity that is basically built off of the back of the turnip stock market. So
the turnip empire.
Basically. So the turnip exchange is a website that you go on to, and it basically, you're just in a queue, right? So whenever it's your time to go to, I don't know, whoever's island, it will say, mm-hmm. hey, you can join this island now. So it will give you a code, and you'll input that code into your Switch, and that will allow you to travel to the person's island. The crazy part about this is that this turnip exchange, before it was released, it actually had a Patreon. So people are essentially paying real money to like, so okay, so if you join the Patreon at the $5 mark, you get priority listing on the website, and then on the $10 mark, you get custom background for their listing, which is whatever. And then the $15 mark, you get a custom URL. Again, not much. The $5 mark is the important thing because you get priority listing on the website. So it's so...
Has priority, nobody has priority.
Yeah, right? Except for me, because I'm not paying $5 for that.
This sounds less like a Patreon and more like a Backpage. It's some sketchy shit.
Jordan, what you know about Backpage?
Because it's like people are exchanging certain things off this game, outside of this game's, you know, parameters.
To jump the line.
For like this, yo, man.
Yeah.
All right. You know, we're all distracted by COVID right now. That's fine. But man, this shit is sketch.
It's things like this that convinces me that when we are talking about Game of the Year, this game will be in the running. Like, this game has sweeped...
I'm pretty sure it's up there.
Yeah, this game has sweeped the globe in such a crazy and interesting way. And we're going to find out more ways that other people are actually going to Animal Crossing for various things. But yeah, this has been the game that I've been playing.
It is an amazingly executed game, based on what I'm seeing. So
yeah.
I don't argue with that.
Yep. Okay. So that has been it for the games we've been playing. And before we get into the quick hits, we have a word from our sponsors.
The Turnip Market.
Hell yeah.
Sponsor us, nigga.
You know what? I'm pretty sure turnips cost more than oil right now.
Yeah. You could definitely sell it for more, I'll tell you that.
Hey, everyone. Have you been enjoying this episode so far? Would you like to make sure you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. And if you have, tell 3 people about the podcast. Could be strangers, could be friends, could be loved ones, hated ones. Who cares? Every little bit helps. After you've done that, please follow us on Facebook at @PressX2Start, at Instagram at @PressX2Start, and Twitter, @PressX2S. And now, on our YouTube page at @PressX2StartTV. If you've done all these things, well done. You're a real one.
And we're back. And now it is time for the quick hits. Number one. This comes from The Verge. Detroit Lions reveal schedule through Animal Crossing New Horizons. What the fuck?
They're not good.
As a person who knows nothing about the Detroit Lions and their skills as being a credible football team, I looked at this news and I shrugged my shoulders. And I said, okay, that's kind of cool, I guess. So the actual video, when you start Animal Crossing, Tom Nook, who is like the character that gives you your first and second and third and fourth loan on your house, he basically introduces like, you're part of this new island and so on and so on and so forth. The Detroit Lions basically took that intro video and put their own text into the actual video. So Tom Nook is like introducing the fact that they're going to release their new schedule or whatever. And it's like, it's
cross marketing,
cool.
My dude.
Yeah, basically.
It's a young lead of Detroit Lions Incorporated marketing that thought outside the box. That's all that is.
Exactly. Yeah. Like smart. This is something that's like really cool. And like, this gives me such vibes of Fortnite. And like, that's one of the things where I'm just like, damn, people are really looking at Animal Crossing in a very different way that's outside of like the normal way of playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, number two. This comes from Push Square. PS Store suspended indefinitely in China for supposed security upgrades. This has been such a confusing story for me. So basically, Sony has declined to comment on whether backdoor hacks allow Chinese players to access and download content not currently licensed for release in the region have played a part in the PlayStation Store's closure in the country. So basically, there might have been some kind of security update that allowed Chinese players to hack the PS Store, or maybe there wasn't secure. I don't know. Basically, it sucks. Number three, Last of Us 2 trailer dropped and it got downvote bombed. So currently on IGN, the likes are at 60K and the dislikes are at 45K.
Hey, get off.
Did you guys hear that?
Let me do.
The hell is that?
As a resident janitor working at your local high school, I'm seeing that there's a shortage of nerds getting put in lockers, and they're getting too powerful, and I'm tired of it. So we put nerds back in lockers 2020. Nerds back in lockers 2020. Hey, get off me. You can't silence me.
I guess it was nothing. But yeah, that's so insane. It seems just like part of it, I think it's the whole like, people still have a hard time that Ellie is not a traditional girl that they can fawn over.
Yeah, so that's what I was asking. I was saying why.
Like, yeah.
Why people are.
Yeah. And then, like, I heard other things that people are upset that Naughty Dog is releasing a trailer just in general because that could spoil story stuff for them. But it's just like, then don't watch the trailer. Like,
people are weird. And,
you know. You go on to the trailer and then you downvote it, but it's like, you basically gave the trailer a view.
But voting up and voting down still have the same monetized value. But that doesn't go to Naughty Dog. It goes to IGN.
Right. Yeah, that's another thing, too. Number four. This comes from IGN. Mortal Kombat 11 Aftermath has been announced. In this DLC, you get RoboCop, you get Friendships, and you get a lot more.
Hell yeah.
So, we're not going to...
The DLC. You get like a brand new story DLC.
Yeah, right. So we're not going to go into all the little details. I'm just going to read a little blurb from IGN. So NetherRealm's just announced Mortal Kombat 11 Aftermath, an expansion that will add brand new story content that takes place right where Mortal Kombat 11 left off, along with three new characters, Fujin, Shiva, and RoboCop. That's not all, though. Because in addition to the content offered in the pay expansions, there will also be free updates on May 26th for all players that will add new stages, stage fatalities, and most importantly, friendships. So in the trailer, they showed Scorpion doing his friendship where he does the get over here, and then he pulls in a giant teddy bear and he's like, I'm hugging
you. Oh, I thought somebody made that shit. Okay.
No, that's the actual friendship. They showed a couple more of them, but like, it's really, really cool.
Your boy from Australia with the laser eye.
Kano.
Kano. Grills hot dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kano grows hot dogs.
He puts a shrimp on the Barbie.
It's pretty fun. Great.
Yeah. So they've showed, like, in their announcement trailer, they showed a couple more of the friendships. And it's just like, okay, I really wish I enjoyed playing Mortal Kombat because I would totally support this game.
But dude, I just don't want... Mortal Kombat's killing it. When right next to, you know, the Dragon Ball game, like, it's one of the better performing fighters in this generation. Like, ever since Mortal Kombat 9, the previous generation, they just been doing well. They know what they want to do.
Exactly, yeah.
They have direction.
Unlike they have great Virtual direction. Fire,
Virtual Fighter and fucking Street Fighter Infinite. Oh, those franchises just are dead.
Wait, did you say Street Fighter Infinite?
Yeah, or whatever. Marvel vs. Capcom.
Oh, okay. I really wish it should just be Street Fighter Infinite at this point because that's pretty much all it is. All right. Number five. This comes from IGN. Cyberpunk 2077 will let you customize your genitals. I repeat, let you customize your genitals.
I got an elephant dick. It swing real low. I got an elephant dick. I need a whale to blow. I be swinging my dick. Swinging my dick. I be swinging my dick.
So, per the ESRB rating report, players can select a gender and customize their character. Customization can include depictions of breasts, buttocks, and genitalia, as well as various sizes and combinations of genitals. So the report also mentions of in-game purchases, but CD Projekt Red has basically told IGN that this whole in-game purchase thing refers to ability to buy future DLC expansions for the game, not microtransactions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good that they actually made that statement so not to have everyone freak out that they think there's going to be microtransactions.
They said combinations of genitals, so it sounds like you can make a hermaphrodite.
Yes, sir, you can. You can.
Yeah, it allows for all
expression. You can make a man with both boobies and dickies.
I'm gonna make me a gigolo that serves all the community.
As I said on our Slack, I'm looking for the feature to have not one but three dicks, and I can braid them to become the ultimate dick.
They're not gonna fucking total recall that shit. It's gonna be that wild. It'll be close.
Here's hoping for the DLC to that. Okay, number six. This comes from The Independent. Children's computer game Roblox insider tricked by hacker for access to user data. So this is insane. So a hacker who bribed a worker for the online video game Roblox managed to gain access to the personal information of a smaller number of users, the ability to change passwords and email addresses, and allocate in-game currency.
Wow.
Yeah, so the hacker was able to trick a Roblox worker to gain access to the customer support panel in an attempt to receive compensation for finding a bug in Roblox system. The person claimed, although there is no indication that a vulnerability actually existing. So, fuck.
Roblox has always been obscure to me. It's always been weird.
Yeah.
Like, that's total Gen Z stuff. I'm like, what is it?
Yeah, like, I remember watching one video on it and thinking, like, oh, this is... Minecraft looks better than this game. And then, like, I just...
I know, but, like, for, the kids love it, dude.
Yeah,
the
they
kids
do.
Love it. It's weird.
Yeah. All right, number seven. This comes from Hollywood Reporter. EA posts major gains in fiscal year thanks to hit from Respawn Entertainment Studio. So,
what?
Yep.
I wonder.
Yeah, it's all that it's all that Anthem play, right, guys?
Yeah, sure. Respawn had nothing to do with that shit game.
No,
boy.
But EA, like, EA posts major gains, you know.
Yeah,
you
they saw Anthem. They're like, ugh.
All right, so
that shit on the other side of the cubicle.
EA saw a bump in total net revenue and net income over its full fiscal year 2020 from 2019, up $5.5 billion and $3 billion, respectively. Fiscal year 19 numbers, FY19, that's an interesting way of saying that, in both categories total $3.7 billion and $1 billion, respectively. The sharp rise in income was aided by a one-time tax benefit recognized during the fiscal year. That's cool. Money. I wonder, I guess they must have really been hurting for money, so they got this little tax benefit, right?
Right. EA is too big to fail. We need them to survive.
Right. In its official filing, EA noted that the current coronavirus pandemic has driven engagement with their products. I wonder why. With more people staying at home, we have experienced and are continuing to experience heightened levels of engagement in live services net bookings growth to data. Oh, that's probably why.
Wait, what is this side bullshit? All right, Anthem didn't do a fucking thing.
No, excuse me, sir. The next quote states that Anthem was a good boy and helped EA grow their profits.
Wow. And so, yeah, Anthem was a good boy until he was taken out bad. Totally look at the flowers.
So ultimately, that sounds like a lot of people are buying a lot of cosmetics in Apex because... Did that Star Wars game have stuff to buy post launch?
No, I don't believe it. It was total. It was like a total contained thing. They didn't do none of that.
That's crazy,
huh?
They didn't do any microtransactions in that game.
Interesting.
Because they were like, "Hey, story game."
Yeah.
What, remember those?
Okay. So that's great. I'm so happy for EA and them getting so much more money. Number eight, this comes from comicbook.com. Mass Effect Trilogy Remaster reported real and it's releasing soon. So, Jordan, I know you're happy about that.
I don't know. It's crazy.
Oh, shit.
Because Mass Effect 1 to 2, such a change in gameplay. I don't know how the fuck they're going to do it. It's going to be up-res. It's going to be a total redo in terms of combat and shit. Because you play Mass Effect 1 and play Mass Effect 3... Those are two very different games in terms of game mechanics. So
yeah, but I mean, this is just remastered, right? So it's not really they're
but
not.
But it's the whole trilogy, though. So yeah, so it's probably gonna be an up-res.
Yeah,
you know, like it's not gonna be something as involved as Ratchet and Clank and Spyro.
Yeah,
well, Spyro was up-res too, but Ratchet and Clank was way more of a building from the ground up based on the RE made storyline. But yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do.
Right. I mean,
if I put money on it, it'll be up-res.
There won't really need to be anything. Yeah, because it's remastered, so it's just going to be up-res. It's not going to be like...
But sometimes remasters are more involved, though. Oh, like, yeah. some games are being labeled remastered, and, like, they totally change things.
Okay.
But I don't think this is going to be it.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it, though.
Okay, well, you know, we'll see what happens. So, according to a report, not only is Mass Effect Trilogy remastered in development, but it's apparently releasing quite soon. During its recent earnings call with investors, EA noted that it has one EA HD title releasing this fiscal year. In other words, releasing before the end of March 2021. Wait. Oh, March 2021. Okay. Unfortunately, EA didn't disclose any further details about this mystery project, but a new report may have just spilled the beans for it. According to GamesBeat journalist Jeff Grubb, cool last name, considered a reputable source by many, this EA HD title is Mass Effect Trilogy Remastered.
It's going to be Medal of Honor.
Medal of Honor, interesting.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, sure.
Got you,
bitch.
I think
Medal of Honor was the first game as a child I ever turned. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I saw a video of that and I was like, no, this is not for me.
It was so weird.
Yeah. But, so... Cool, you know, and he's a trusted source, so this kind of gives weight to this actually being a thing. So we'll see again what happens. It's 2021. Oh,
you know, it'd be awesome if they remastered Dead Space.
Ooh, Dead Space. Ooh,
yeah, Dead Space 1 and 2.
You know what?
Out of all of them, never played them though.
Wait, wasn't there a third?
There was a 3.
Yeah, it was multiplayer. The third one.
Shit.
Yeah, it was different.
Can you imagine if this was actually Dead Space and not Mass Effect?
Hilarious. You know, I mean, I wouldn't. Both games are great. I mean,
yeah. Nah, it's just crazy. Okay. Number 9. This comes from The Verge. Twitch is going to fund new reality programming. That's exciting. Now that we're all inside and online a brain-breaking amount of time per day, Twitch is looking to fund a slate of new unscripted series to help broaden its audience. I don't even want it. I don't want to read this.
Dude, it's just Twitch. It's just Twitch. Twitch reality show. What the fuck can they do with it?
Oh,
like,
my God.
People playing video games, talking about each other?
Oh, my God.
There's nothing there.
This is giving me a headache. Like,
you can't do, like, traditional, you know, multiple people in a room type filming anymore. You can't do that. Like, not for the time being.
I'm picturing some, like, The Circle shit from, like, Netflix or, like... Fucking Love is Blind, but you have people playing Minecraft or Fortnite or some shit. Oh, man.
You know you want it.
Yeah, I'm totally going to watch that. Oh, I can't wait. Number 10, this comes from GameIndustry.biz. From the UK charts, Animal Crossing New Horizons sales surges 135%. Okay, this is kind of weird because it's all based off UK charts, but generally, like, UK charts are the first charts to come out, and then it kind of trickles through in other... like the US charts and whatever. Anyways, Animal Crossing New Horizons is back at number one in the UK after sales surge 135% week on week. The increase follows an influx of physical stock into the market last week. The previous week's number one, FIFA 20, slips to number three. That is insane. So just real quick of where everything sits right now, the top 10. We have Animal Crossing New Horizons. That's number one. Number two, Grand Theft Auto 5.
Whoa.
Number three, yo, Grand Theft Auto, boy. That thing does not die.
And the rock of video game sales.
You're right. Number three, FIFA 20. Number four, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Number five, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Number six, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, which is interesting. Hey. That's up there.
No, shut up. Not interesting at all. Makes sense. Keep going.
Makes sense like a tumor. Number seven, Luigi's Mansion 3. Number
Trash
eight,
boy.
Red Dead Redemption 2. Number nine, Minecraft for the Switch. And number 10, New Mario Super Brothers U Deluxe. That's a long ass title. So yeah, that's pretty cool. Good on them for doing what they do and making
it. Well, there's your Respawn game right there.
Which one?
Jedi Fallen Order.
Oh, man. Oh yeah, true. Oh, you know what? I don't think we mentioned this last cast, but Animal Crossing also sold like 11.7 million, I don't know, bells, whatever the fuck. Million units in 11 days or some bullshit like that. Like, this game is So powerful, guys.
Not a penny from me.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine playing Grand Theft Auto Online over and over again. Fuck that. Prince of Persia.
Speaking of Grand Theft Auto, number 11, Ubisoft, guys.
Not even.
Not even. So, two big things happened from Ubisoft. The first one comes from Push Square. Prince of Persia 6 website domain registered by Ubisoft. Who's excited? That's exactly what I was hoping
for. I'd be more excited for a Splinter Cell, but for some reason, they don't want to.
Oh, no, it's going to be Prince of Persia Splinter Cell. It's going to be the crossover everybody wanted. It's going to be so
But amazing. they've had so much Splinter Cell in their last, you know, shooters, like fucking both Ghost Recons, Wildlands, and Breakpoint.
Yeah.
I think they have one in the Division also. Like, what the fuck? All right. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the first part. The second part, which is actually more important and kind of works very well with the first part, is that Ubisoft just tweeted out a save the date to join them for July 12th for Ubisoft Forward. So this is basically going to be their online event, and they're going to have it's going to be a fully digital showcase with exclusive game news, reveals, and more. So, yeah, okay. They have a little graphic or a little animated GIF of, you know, their little Ubisoft Forward thing, and it kind of just looks like, I don't know, fucking, maybe it could be Splinter. It's just like an outdoor environment with like grass rustling in the foreground, and like you got like mountains and stuff and like a fog, and it says Ubisoft.com. I don't know. Cool. Whatever, man. All right. I think it's time for the heavy hitters.
Playing with going inside Xbox?
Yes.
Yes.
So yeah, no, Xbox tried it. They tried to, you know, everyone has a computer in front of them, so they want to be the first one out the gate in terms of their new console, the Series X, which already was announced earlier this year. But this is supposed to be like the first showing of gameplay, at least that's what it was advertised as. But it turned out to be more of like the second part of an Xbox E3 session, to which they kind of show like all the other shit,
yeah,
that no one cares about, like in quick order.
Yeah.
But yeah, like even I was thrown off, you know, like it was supposed to be like this gameplay. I mean, there was some in-game type stuff, but not the, you know, game designer with the Xbox controller doing stuff. Like none of that happened. So yeah, they had Bright Memory Infinite, which I'm pretty convinced it's going to be like a Chinese Bitcoin miner. I don't know. I don't know if I trust that game. That game looks mad different.
It looks really cool, though, but, like, yeah, it is.
I don't know what the fuck I'm looking at. I mean, I don't know. I don't like how the rain was looking in that game.
The big thing about that game was that that's supposed to be developed by just one person. And that is a feat in itself. Like, that trailer is, like, it's really great for just one person to make. I don't know. It's kind of weird because it's like, all right, but, like, if this is going to be something that you put forward, I really hope that you would, going forward, support this game in any way you can to make it, you know, not better. Be like a buggy mess when it releases. So maybe put more than one person on the game after this. I don't know.
It's made in China. Nothing against China. I just don't know. I just don't know. But I mean, I did try to do some investigating on it, but I just came out of nowhere. So yeah, maybe it develops into something, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Dirt 5, Dirt franchise is still strong. Mm-hmm. Brand is strong. Scorn, weird, bloody. Oh,
God.
It reminds me of, what's that? Abyss or something? Like some Dante's Inferno type game that came out a few years ago.
Oh, I know exactly.
That wasn't well received.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. It had that like
Agony.
Okay, yeah. That's what it is, yeah.
Yeah. Chorus, barely remember it. Madden NFL, got to do it. And we get back to Madden at the very end of it, to why Madden's kind of like, whatever.
Exactly.
Vampire looks cool, though. Vampire, the Masquerade Bloodlines.
Yeah.
That was probably like number three on my list in terms of interest.
So, well, okay, so real quick about this game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so from a story/gameplay perspective, it looks really cool, but actually visually, I think this is probably the weakest looking game in the entire show.
Yeah. It reminded me of, what's that game, Neighbor? like, yeah. Please Be Your Neighbor or something like that. The same type of, and also, what's that other game? God, don't worry about it. like the cel shaded look is running. It's not. We gotta get out of that.
Yeah, we're at the point where we can easily see the seams in like cel shaded graphics. Like if it's lacking, we know that it's lacking. Basically,
yeah. Call to see, like something that I just don't remember.
This is the game where the lady is looking for her husband who was part of an expedition and he mysteriously vanished. Yeah. And like near the end of the thing, like it's all in first person, but near the end of the thing, like she has like fish hands or something. So I don't fucking know. I don't know, man.
And the Medium was like another horror type game too, right? Yeah.
Oh, did you mention the Ascent? The Ascent.
I thought that's what you were talking about.
No. I was talking about Call of the Sea. The Ascent is like a like isometric run and gun like shooter thing. I don't know. This one, I was not impressed with this in any way, shape, or form. Like I would have pressed like the fast forward button on this if this was on my iPad.
Scarlet Nexus, don't remember.
Yeah.
Second Extinction, don't remember.
So okay,
Yakuza.
we're starting to see exactly how you digest this inside Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, like it was just such like what the fuck, like because it was such it was so juxtaposed to what it was being marketed as.
Yeah,
you know, I thought we're gonna get people like, oh, like is fucking Cyberpunk 2077? Oh, is it gonna be here? They haven't talked in a while. Is it gonna be Halo Infinite? It's going to be more Forza. Like, all these other games that are being rumored to be at this event just wasn't there. So, no, like, this, my behavior is warranted, DJ. Okay? That's all I got to say. Like, this shit. Yakuza, Xbox, we don't play Yakuza. You know? I mean, yeah, it's weird.
Was this the turn-based Yakuza? Yeah, this is the turn-based one, yeah. So, Scarlet Nexus is, like, the anime-looking game that looks like that Switch game that I can never remember the title to, where you get the, like, robot dog and you're like a cop or something. I don't know. But yeah, it looks cool. I'm hesitant about it because it's an anime game and I have my own feelings when it comes to that.
Oh yeah, okay, now yeah, I was like, yeah. here comes more inventory management. That's what I saw with Scarlet Nexus.
But okay, so Second Extinction, that was actually the one game that I was like, I kind of want this game. And that basically looks like Turok meets Left 4 Dead. So, like, when you first see a trailer, it's like you get four people and, like, you're basically just shooting up dinosaurs. And what I didn't notice at first, but then I realized afterwards after listening to other podcasts or whatever, when you're shooting the dinosaurs, you're shooting off chunks of the dinosaurs. Wow. And I'm like, oh, that is real. That's the gritty that I want. So... I'm looking to see...
Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which... technically at end game, but you know,
yeah,
there was no gameplay. So, and
yeah,
Xbox is like, oh, what, we didn't say literally gameplay, we were like, yo, we're showing off new games, like I don't know where you have to play from this, like this is not state of play, this inside Xbox, you crossed your streams here.
Yeah,
so they had to walk it back, egg on their face, someone got fired, fuck it.
Yeah, so actually both Xbox and Ubisoft apologized because of the
Ubisoft didn't have to apologize. Xbox, but yeah, they
I was one of the people that was really, because they said that there was going to be gameplay from Valhalla in the inside Xbox, and I was waiting for that gameplay because I am on the fence on that game, and what I got was not. I mean, there might have been gameplay, but if it was, that was like. Maybe.
I mean, like, it was like, as I said, like, there was like an in-game cutscene. Like those happened. Like those in-game cutscenes. That's what you saw. Was like, you know, him, the person Yawny or whatever his name is, or her name will name R.
Right. Right.
It was like shipping off the sea. That's all it was. There was nothing there.
No, and that's the thing. Like, I would have preferred it. They not market that this game was going to show in the inside Xbox, and that just be a surprise. Like that would have been. Much better than what they did. But okay, so in terms of the list of games, for me, I feel like The Medium was probably the game that I was most intrigued by and I thought was like probably had the best showing. So how about you guys? What did you think was
For me, it was Dirt 5.
Dirt 5, okay.
Dirt's always done a great job in terms of visuals and racing games, like their particle effects and all that.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about Dirt 5.
Okay. And then what about you, Sean?
I'm curious about Medium.
Okay. Yeah. And like that game's actually, I think it has the music guy is from Silent Hill or something like that. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, that's cool. So, okay. So Jordan, you mentioned EA from before. So what happened?
Yeah. EA's complicating their own shit. Okay. Simple. You're supposed to buy your game on the Xbox One X or Xbox One and it gets ported. That purchase stays with you when you get the Xbox Series X, to which you can get that version for free. EA right. doesn't want to play ball. EA wants to do their own fucking thing. They want to do their own thing. While Cyberpunk 2077 is okay with it, all these other publishers are okay with it, EA is not on board with smart delivery system. So if you're a fan of FIFA or Madden and you want to get the game when it comes out, like usually August or whatever before the season starts,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Xbox One X won't come out until October or November or whatever,
mm-hmm.
hey man, prepare to buy it twice. Like that's how EA wants to do it. So yeah.
Well, they said if you buy it before the New Year's, you have the chance to upgrade before March.
Yeah, I don't know why EA has that stipulation, but that stipulation has not been translated to the other games that are going to be available on Xbox Series X at launch. That could be purchased for the Xbox One or Xbox One X.
It may very well be that the smart delivery has a similar stipulation and they just not have, you know, detailed it yet.
Possibly. That's possible, it could go either way. Like, but I just wouldn't be surprised if it's the former, because EA is just that publisher.
Yeah, it definitely seems like EA is kind of playing both sides. So they're playing ball in terms of...
Why wouldn't Project Red come forward with that? Or Ubisoft? Or are they all holding? Or
yeah.
Because it seemed very clear with them.
Yeah.
You know, but EA's like, well, fuck it, no.
Yeah, it definitely seems like...
EA's trying to double up their money.
It seems like EA's just trying to play ball. And they are trying to make sure that they can get a profit at the end of the day, but they're also trying to, quote-unquote, support the smart delivery system. So yeah, I think this is just the start of what's to come when it comes to talking about smart delivery and whatever PlayStation has and what that's really going to mean for the games
and publishers and their profit margins, because I like publishers also see return on investment if so, like those weird middle years between console generations to which someone buys the former, you know, version that came out in the previous years versus the new up-res version that came out years later.
Right, right.
It's all money.
Yeah, yeah. So, Sean, better news, I hope.
Yeah, I was just reading through it and thinking of all the tactical ways I could use this shit. So, by the time you hear this, Apex Legends Season 5 will have, you know, started. And they have a new character called Loba, which ties into the last character revealed or released called Revenant. Loba's father was killed by Revenant, but they showed her abilities and what have you recently. So she has a tactical ability where she can basically throw like a bracelet that she wears and teleport to wherever she threw it. Her passive ability is she can basically see through walls and what have you and see different items available for pickup. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And then her ultimate ability, basically she puts down a spike and any loot in the area, you can retrieve it through this spike. So you and your teammates, and apparently your enemies, can use it to get up to two items from, like, I don't know how big the radius is, but it doesn't snatch up all the loot. I would assume it stays in place, and then if you choose it, it just disappears from wherever it is.
So,
but it says any enemies can use it, so I can see people, like, leaving this out in the open just to get, you know, stupid people sitting there looting through it and snipe them, get headshots, clean headshots.
Yeah, so, okay, I guess I'm kind of confused on this, because I guess in the trailer, it didn't seem like it worked that way.
What do you mean, the ultimate?
Yeah, because she was like...
I don't know if you've seen the most recent trailer.
Oh, okay. Well, was it the one where she shot the Revenant head in the glass, and then it made...
No, they released two more trailers since then.
Oh, shit. All right, well, cool.
I'll have you watch it, but ultimately... She puts down her staff, and it's called a Black Market Boutique. And when you interact with it, a list of all the items within a certain radius appear in a list, and you can take up to two.
Oh, okay. Oh, and that's interesting.
It's kind of like Revenant's ultimate ability where anybody can interact with it.
Yeah.
So I can see people using this kind of tactically.
Right.
They gave Bangalore a new bitch bob for some reason. They gave her new hairstyle.
Yep.
Hey, she got that weave, man.
She
looks bad.
Don't know exactly how to talk about this because none of us, as far as I know, has ever been a black woman in any of our lives. So I actually showed my wife this and I had to actually sit back first and explain, like, okay, so Bangalore was a character that was released in this game. And the cool thing about her was that, like, she had natural hair and, like, she had it styled up and she looked really cool. And everyone was like, that's really awesome.
Favorite character the first time around.
Right. So now they given her a skin where I had that her hair was like flat iron. Or permed. Yeah, permed. And then my wife was like, or it could have been flat iron. I was like, damn, you're right.
I said flat iron in the chat. I was like, who gave Bangalore a flat iron?
Also, they introduced some PvE elements into it. So they have something called quests. So they have season quests where you find like treasure packs in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to unlock this broken ghost storyline where you can get cosmetics and other rare items, quote unquote. Your character.
So that PvE thing kind of works inside and outside of the game. So like you can pick it up in game, but like it keeps track outside of the game. Or is that just tied to each
So match apparently you play? After you pick up like 5 treasure packs, it unlocks a mission or quest for you to do.
Okay, that's interesting.
And you can do this solo or with a group.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. Well, that's good. They're staying flexible when it comes to competing with
Warzone. Well, this is how EA got that money, you know.
This is true.
A couple billion.
Yeah. But okay. Last but not least, it's me, guys, and I'm talking about a story from Tom's Hardware, and it's talking about the PS5 secret weapon against Xbox Series X. It was just been revealed, kinda, sort through a rumor. So maybe not. We'll see. So the tweet from @PS5Only says, PS5's new PS Store user interface allows you to browse and try every game instantly, playable within seconds, with no traditional downloading required, no waiting before you decide to purchase the full game and download it as normal. So.
It's on the cloud.
Cloud Strife?
No, I said like cloud gaming, being able to play the game instantly without downloading it.
Yeah. Like the Stadia or Amazon's upcoming stuff.
Right. So I'm just going to read a little bit more. The PS5 has already been confirmed to be capable of downloading specific parts of the game, like single player, multiplayer, whatever, without needing to download everything else. Therefore, it's not impossible to imagine developers making another section for the free demo that could be easily accessed through the relevant section on the PlayStation Store. So I think this is really cool. I think this is something that should have been done a long time ago. And
it already has. Didn't you get PlayStation Magazine? The little disc in it?
You a fool.
Little disc in it, and bam. Same thing.
They're not
cooler.
They're not revolutionary, they're evolutionary.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, my gosh. But demos has been a thing that was great for the consumer side, but then kind of stopped because of the developer side.
Money.
Not wanting to spend the money on that. So it's cool that PlayStation is bringing it back. My only question is this going to be something that is mandatory now going forward for all PlayStation 5 games? Because if it's not, then we're kind of at the same point that we've been at PS4.
It depends on the effort of the developer themselves.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And like,
some developers are going to be like, yes. I mean, I will put Last of Us in a situation. Like, how much of the Last of Us would you want to have as a demo? Like, come on. I mean, I don't know.
That's a good ass point. That's a really strong point because it's like, yeah, okay, there's a demo, but like, why would you play it if you don't want any of it spoiled for you? And then it's just like, well, if no one's playing it, why would the developer spend any money on it?
They could just have time limited demos like they do with certain games where you can only play it for like the first 20 minutes or so of the controllable sections.
Yeah.
That's also true.
And it could be just like one time, just kind of like that the Resident Evil one shot demo.
Oh yeah.
But for some, and I understand what you're saying, Sean. But like to our previous point, some narratives might be hard for that. Like some people are just such fiends for video games to which they get like one whiff of a certain scenario, they're like, oh, this is gonna happen or some shit like that. I don't know. I mean.
You know what? And also, too, like, if you think about, like, games like Persona, where they're, like, 80-hour experiences, like, the first hour or so is just like, okay, this is not really relevant to, or this is not...
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to drop you in the very beginning of the game. I've seen some demos where they put you, like, in the middle without any story spoilers, and you have, you know, certain abilities unlocked already. So it's not undoable.
The last thing I want to have happen is, you know, for The Last of Us 2, you know, the part when it's been confirmed that Joel dies by choking on a peanut, you have to play the section that Ellie revives him.
Spoilers, Jordan, damn. Arrow.
Just saying. I mean, I saw it coming. Like, have you seen Joel's beard? Of course the nigga's allergic to peanuts.
Oh, shit. Well, I guess we'll see what happens, when Sony and PlayStation finally starts talking about the PS5 officially, and we don't have to really be going back and forth between these rumors of what's going to be on PS5. I just hope that the PlayStation Network just works. I just want it to work.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the interface?
I mean, yes.
Hell no.
We can start with the interface.
Sony... God. Interface? Well, fuck you, crazy.
You're not wrong. That thing. There's been times where I've been playing Call of Duty and I just die because I'm just trying to save a clip. I'm like, Jesus. Great.
I'm just trying to buy DLC through PlayStation. I'd like look up online to find out how to buy DLC for Borderlands.
You know what?
That's what I don't like. How do I find the Borderlands DLC on PlayStation Store.
Yeah,
I have legit issues finding shit in that thing.
The whole makeup of the store is flawed from, like, just in every standpoint. That thing is flawed. Like, I don't even know, with
Microsoft, you get the main title, but you have all this stuff associated with it. Clearly, like, within the same page,
right?
So you have to fucking scour for it. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess. I actually downloaded the wrong DLC at some point for some game I was playing because it looked like it was supposed to be that, but then it was actually something else because the names were very similar but different in the last, like, word or whatever.
Yeah, my dude.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been a spectacular episode of the award-winning podcast, Press X to Start Podcast. Yes, I said podcast twice, so you don't forget that we are a podcast. We hope you enjoy this episode as much as we enjoy making it. Don't forget to rate and review us on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit helps. In case you missed any of the details, you can find all this stuff on our website at pressx2start.com. Until next time, call me Three Dick Wonder in Cyberpunk 2020. Peace.
Wow.
No, wait. Cyberpunk 2077, guys. Marcus.
Yeah, 2020. No.
Marcus, right. Figure that out. Peace.